The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
It's our Ask the Pastor Hour. Open phones. You can call in. You want to talk about something you want to talk about? Well, that's what we do here. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, if you call in the first hour and you want to talk about the Dalai Lama or something, we're going to say, well, no, we're not talking about the Dalai Lama. We're talking about Hebrews chapter 11. But in the second hour, the Ask the Pastor hour, you got a question you want to talk about, you want to ask about the Dalai Lama? Ask away. Again, the numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest in this hour is Pastor David Andrus. He is the Executive Director of Lutheran Blind Mission, lives here in St. Louis. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing fine.
For somebody who's listening to us who says, Lutheran Blind Mission, well, what's that? What's the answer to that question?
Lutheran Blind Mission is an organization that serves those who are totally blind or are visually impaired that need large print. We also provide Braille and audio material on cassette tape, so that they might be nurtured and strengthened in their Christian walk, especially because so many of them, because they don't drive and we're in such a automobile society, they don't get to church. And so one of the ways they look to strengthen or nourish their faith is through the materials we provide.
And how long have you been the executive director?
I came on board in 1998. My title was slightly different then. We were part of LCMS World Mission at that time. But 1998, so coming on 13 years in a month.
If I were to say, Pastor Andrus, just give me one thing. Give me one thing in these past 12, 13 years in your time as executive director that you thank God for, you praise God for. I'm sure your list is long, but give me the number one thing.
Can I do two?
Well, all right. It is the holiday season, so I guess we can be generous.
Because two things flash in mind. The first thing that came to my mind was the people who are blind and visually impaired. When I came on board, literally within a month, I got call after call. It's about time a blind guy headed up Blind Mission. What are we going to do? And that's when we started helping them be active and reaching other people who are blind to share the good news of Jesus. A lot of that happens through our outreach centers. We have over 58 of them around the country, two here in St. Louis, as people who are blind reach out and share that good news. So that's one, that blind people are now more active. The second are the volunteers. I had to do a report this past week. We literally are a $3.5 million operation, but our budget is $450,000 because most of this is done through volunteers. And they're the ones who make it possible. The sighted volunteers, well over 1,000 of them around the country, provide materials as well as service at our outreach centers so that blind people might be strengthened, encouraged, and then also fortified that they can then reach out to share the gospel. So those are the two that I think of immediately and give thanks for.
And one more question as it pertains to Lutheran Blind Mission.
All right, because it's a holiday, I'll let you ask one more question.
All right, thank you very much. You're so kind.
Yeah, yeah.
When the holidays roll around like this, does your work change? Is December different from January, or you pretty much do the same thing year-round?
For me personally, it does change. It slows down. A lot of my time is going out and speaking to congregations to let them know for the first time that Lutheran Blind Mission is there, or to pat them on the back as they have many times served and helped. They don't want a guest speaker in December. So in that sense, it slows down. And usually during the month of December, I'm contacting churches to lay out my schedule for the upcoming months. Now, rest of the staff here, it's pretty much same old, same old. They're providing materials to volunteers or providing materials to people who are blind who are requesting it.
All right, let's move on to the first question of the day here. Uh-huh. Do you have any affection for the National Football League?
I do. I love football.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, great.
I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. You might as well come out with that straightforward.
All right, well, then I won't have to do a whole bunch of setting this up since you understand what the game is about and what the NFL is about.
Yeah.
Recently, the Buffalo Bills were involved in a game with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. And that game went into overtime. Overtime, of course, is always very exciting. Mm-hmm. The quarterback for the Buffalo Bills threw a long pass in overtime into the end zone to his wide receiver, Steve Johnson. Mm-hmm. The ball hit Johnson in the hands. Well, let's just sort of listen to this.
First and 10. LaPetri with a nice block at the guard. Going deep. He's got Johnson! Oh, he dropped the ball! That would have been the game winner.
Now, I don't know if you had heard about that or not, Pastor Andrus, but the ball hit him in the hands. If he catches it, the Bills are the winners, mm-hmm. and he'll be celebrated in Buffalo and in his video, which I just played for you, the audio I just played for you would be a video of him being a hero. As it is, he turns out to be a goat.
Mm-hmm.
So, after he dropped that overtime pass, and Pittsburgh then went on to win in overtime, he tweeted. You know about tweeting, Pastor?
I know of it. Twitter? I don't do it, but I know of it.
I don't do it either, but it is quite the popular communications tool these days.
Yeah.
Not long after the game ended, a tweet addressed to God and seen around the world came from Steve Johnson.
Hmm.
Here's a quote of the tweet. I praise you 24/7. And this, how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? How? I'll never forget this. Ever. Thanks, though. So Steve Johnson publicly communicated to God here. I'm wondering what you thought of his tweet.
Can you read it one more time?
I praise you 24/7. And this, how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? How? I'll never forget this. Ever. Thanks, though.
The first thought that comes to my mind is it sounds very much like many of the Psalms, where David starts out by praising God and then rails about how the wicked succeed. And then he ends by saying, and I trust in you. It's really not a bad statement of faith. Start with God, give him your frustrations and anger, and then again thank him or put your faith in him. That's my first reaction. My second reaction is that middle part. How could you do this to me? We often think because we praise God, he's on our side, he's going to help us win and do it all. It just doesn't work that way. It'll be interesting to see what Steve Johnson says in the days, weeks, and years to come and where his faith is. But a lot of people are faced with this, disappointments and frustrations in their life, and they turn to God and say, where are you? Why? I thought you were for me. And yet this?
You know, there are a number of athletes. I'm sure that you've encountered these moments like the rest of us have.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a great victory, maybe a Super Bowl victory or, mm-hmm. You know, the television cameras will get in the face of the star of the game. And the first thing he'll say is, well, I just want to give thanks and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I don't have any problem with that. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. I think it's certainly good not to say, yeah, I'm the greatest player that ever played the game. However, it does suggest that if you're going to give God credit for your great victory, maybe it's in order to give him the blame when you don't catch the football in the end zone. It's not my fault. It's God's fault I didn't catch that ball.
You know, that brings up a whole interesting subject. Well, my thoughts run to two places. One, though, is that we often don't want to put God on the hook for the bad stuff. And we do a lot of theological jumping through hoops to get him off the hook. And I think many times God is drumming his fingers and saying, why are you letting me off the hook? I'm big enough to take it. If you want to blame me, if you want to come to me, that's okay. A lot of times I think God is that way because we don't want to, we quick want to point things that are bad, what we don't like, to sin and our fallen world. And many times, though, it is really, and I think properly, in God's lap. And yeah, he does sometimes guide and govern these things, and he works it out for our good. Just we don't like that. God's always supposed to be good. God's always supposed to be on the right side. God's always supposed to be cheery and lift us up. Well, there are many situations in the Bible, many circumstances, and that's where my mind secondly went to, is circumstances and situations. When they seemingly aren't for us, all of a sudden that's got to be the bad side. We believe that God, and there's a Bible verse in Proverbs, and please don't ask me where, that he controls the flip of a coin. That means he holds both sides. And we only like the side that comes up as the good side, but it also includes the side down. That's the bad side. He controls the coin. He owns and manages the coin. I think he also manages and controls situations, because in my book, life is not circumstances and situations, what we wear, what we eat, what we drink. Life is knowing him, walking with him, and knowing that he lifts us above those circumstances.
Well, now, Pastor Andrus, I think there might be somebody listening to us right now mm-hmm. who is surprised to hear you say that, that he controls the details right down to the flip of a coin.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of folks who believe that God loves us mm-hmm. and that he cares,
mm-hmm.
but he only gets involved if he has to.
Mm-hmm.
That most of life unfolds the way it unfolds, and God is sort of interested in the big stuff, the important stuff, but the coin flips, no, he's not involved in that. But you say that he is?
Yeah, he is. He does so in his word.
So if my team, the Rams, lose the coin flip this Sunday, I can blame God for that? Is that what you're saying?
You know, that's an interesting comment question, and I'm going to go back to my Lutheran teaching. One of my favorite professors is Bob Kolb. I had him in college, never at the seminary, and that's where he is now.
You call him Bob, do you?
I do, yeah.
Most of the rest of us, we refer to him as Robert.
Oh, do you?
So you must have an inside track.
Well, yes, I do.
Yeah, I guess you do.
He always, when these things come up, he asks, why do you want to know? And it's a perfect question, because if it is so you can be scot-free and go off and do your merry way and rob the bank, well, then no, you that is wrong. But if it is so you can be assured that your sins are forgiven, well, yes, God is involved. It's a yes-no type of thing. Is God in control of everything, including the flip of the coin? Yes. But sometimes the answer is no, depending on our perspective and why we want to know.
Well, now, Pastor, I have to admit that I anticipated your answer here as I raise this issue.
Mm-hmm.
As I quote this tweet from Steve Johnson, the muffing wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills, mm-hmm. who cost the Bills the game,
mm-hmm.
he tweets, to God, I praise you 24/7,
mm-hmm.
with 3 exclamation points, by the way.
Ah.
And this, how you do me, with 3 more exclamation points. I'm saying to myself, no, I don't actually believe that you praise God 24 hours, 7 days a week. And I think that's a false claim.
Mm.
And this, how you do me, no, I don't think God is in charge of catching the football. I think that's your job, Mr. Johnson, and if you dropped it, maybe you should take the blame for it. I was sort of expecting you to roundly condemn the wide receiver for this tweet, but I certainly could never have predicted that you were going to take us to the Psalms. So can you explain that a little bit further to me, Pastor? Interesting angle you have there.
If you look at the life of David, there were many times, literally, he ran for his life. Saul, for about 7 years, was out to kill David time and time again. Several of our Psalms...
7 years is a long time to have a killer on your heels.
Isn't it? Yeah. And it was the king, no less. And David knew that he was right and righteous, trusting God, and why was this man doing this to him? And at that time, people started to see they call the chink in the armor, that Saul wasn't always trusting God, controlling his destiny and raising monuments to himself and not to God. And so people were seeing that this guy isn't always perfect. David saw that he was more righteous than him. That's why he commented, thinking of Psalm 40. And so many times he ran for his life, and so he said, "Why are you doing this, God? Why do the wicked succeed? Why am I slipping in the miry clay?" But he always came back to God, ultimately to hold his life, because David understood life isn't just if we succeed and get on the top of the pile here on earth. David understood, we live our life, we serve the Lord, and it doesn't matter how things come out here necessarily, but that we end up with Him in heaven.
All right, so you've got grace for Steve Johnson, do you?
Mm-hmm. Now, I can't see in his heart, but I can certainly see that that is an option, that might be what he's saying, is the middle phrase is his frustration that he dropped it. And yet he started and ended with God with a thanks and a trust. So, you know, that's not bad. That's pretty biblical. It's pretty psalmish.
Now, as I try to think this through, mm-hmm. what wide receiver Steve Johnson was up to,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking to myself, he didn't really think he was tweeting God.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to tweet God. You can say in your heart and your mind, I praise you 24/7, this is how you do me.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess, was David a centuries-old tweeter himself in the writing of some of his psalms?
Now that's interesting. In a small way, yes.
I mean, we're talking about 3,000 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. And the way they tweeted years ago was they would create a song, S-O-N-G, and sing it, and it would be sung and spoken, and that's what the Psalms, we believe many of them were, especially where they end with Selah. That's probably a end of a phrase, and it may be a musical comment for what the musician should be doing. We know a lot of David's Psalms were then sung. The only difference between David's Psalms and Steve Jones' tweet is we know for sure that David's Psalms were God-inspired, and he wanted us to have it, know it, trust it, believe it, that God was working through that to touch our lives. The tweet, we don't know.
So, I don't know. I guess I'm into mind reading now,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just trying to think this through.
Mm-hmm.
He could have privately made his claim to God in prayer. I praise you 24/7, and this how you do me. He could have done that, but no, he decided to make it public in a tweet, which means that the rest of us got to see it, and you and I get to talk about it today.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he wasn't so much talking to God, but he was trying to communicate something to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Tweeting. Have you ever known an introvert who tweets?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's part of the issue here. It's extroverts are the one who tweets. They're the ones who want people to know what's going on in their head, and they're very communicative. Second thing is usually those who tweet are looking for recognition and action among people, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. They've got a people group that are following them, and they're just trying to let people know. So that's how I view tweeting. That's why, though I'm an extrovert, I don't tweet, though. I don't know that people need to know every single thought that I'm thinking. My wife says, I know too many of your thoughts already. The last thing I need to do is let a lot of people know that. But being a sports figure, they kind of want to have a group of people. And so, yeah, it is, I think, his way of saying to his fans and followers what's going on in his head. And so, in some ways, it is a witness and testimony. Certainly could be that, though.
Yeah.
That he's trying to say, hey, I'm a Christian. And, no, things don't go right, but hey, look at my last phrase. Thanks God.
Let's take a telephone call here before we get to the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Ask the Pastor Hour of the Bible Study. Pastor David Andrus, Executive Director of Lutheran Blind Mission, is our guest in this hour. Hi, David. You're on the Bible Study. Good morning.
Hi, Chuck. In my opinion, I think what the man did is blasphemous. And I'll tell you why. When you look at what first century Christians have had to go through, being crucified, losing their families for being a Christian, Christians throughout the centuries have been killed in horrible ways for their faith. And here's a rich, spoiled football player. If he is blaming God, I think God help him. I think it's blasphemous and spoiled and conceited. And that's just my American opinion.
All right, let's see what okay. Pastor Andrus has to say.
Thanks.
From one David to another, Pastor.
Yeah, David, on a certain level, I do agree with you. It humbles me, and I many times in my sermons say, have you ever read about the first century Christians? There's some good novels out there. When you read what they went through for the faith, we are just, we should be so humble and we should be so faithful. We've got it so easy here in the United States. Even those who are in poverty and who are struggling, trying to make ends meet, who maybe lost their job and maybe are even losing their house, we still have it so much better than those first century Christians who are running for their lives and many times lost their lives to the lions or to the whip or to the sword. So in one level, Dave is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. When we compare it to first century Christians. I was just trying to take a look at the tweet just as a thought between him and God. And is it a matter of faith or unbelief? And then that's why I said it reminded me of the Psalms. When we look at it in a broader perspective, Dave's got a point.
Well, it occurs to me that it might be true that wide receiver Steve Johnson is a rich, spoiled NFL wide receiver who can't accept responsibility for the fact that he could have won the game for his team and did not, and therefore tweets and blames God. Mm-hmm. It might be that, or it could be that Steve Johnson has just revealed a side of himself that is probably the same in all of us. The first thing you do when you fail is look for somebody else to blame. And if you can't find anybody handy, there's always God. You can always say, oh, God, why did you do this to me?
Yeah.
And you know what? I think we all do that, don't we?
We do. We do.
So maybe he's just being really honest. I don't know.
That's how I view it, being really honest. And that's the thing about tweeters. You got to understand tweeters. They're very honest. They're what's the word, transparent, letting you know what's really deep inside. I don't know any tweeters who don't do that. And there's probably some who aren't that honest. But he was being very honest. But then, if that's the case, you got to see all of what he said and not just focus in on one part of it.
Now, Pastor Andrus, you, the executive director of Lutheran Blind Mission, having already mentioned here in this conversation that when you became the executive director, there were blind people who said, finally, a blind guy like the rest of us, who's in charge. Would it be wrong for me to conclude that because you are blind, that movies mean nothing to you, that you couldn't care less about movies?
That is correct. I like movies.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, you know, there's a big one coming out tomorrow. Prince Caspian's going to hit the theaters tomorrow. That's the third in the Narnia series, and I want to talk about that on the other side of the break. All right?
Very good.
Pastor David Andrus with us here. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
I'm Dale Meyer. Did you ever wonder what kind of pastor or deaconess will serve the good news to your children, grandchildren, and the coming generations? Prospective pastors and deaconesses regularly come to Concordia Seminary to consider careers in the Lord's service. Please pray for them. And please encourage young people you know to consider the ministry for their life's work. Thank you.
If you were asked to define what sin is, would you not say something like, sin is disobedience against the commandments of God? While that definition is not wrong, it falls far short of the in-depth understanding of how God regards what sin is. That subject will be the topic of our next broadcast of Law and Gospel.
Weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Over 1,000 people were there. They came to the Michigan church to pay respect to 17 individuals who had been brutally murdered. The bodies of 17 unborn babies were discovered in a dumpster behind a Lansing abortion mill. Nestled inside an infant-sized coffin, they were being given the human dignity they deserved. It's a clash of two cultures, and it's critically important who prevails. On one hand are the abortion mills, killing millions of babies and discarding their bodies like trash. On the other are caring and loving individuals who grieve over their lost lives, people who don't even know the victims. Each day, over 3,000 babies are brutally killed by abortion. It's time to stop the carnage. It's time we put the abortion industry out of business.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Good as gold. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. The Salvation Army says anonymous donors have left gold coins in kettles in Mishawaka and Kokomo, Indiana. Salvation Army Major Bob Webster says the one-ounce coins, worth about $1,400 each, are a blessing, but overall giving is lower than expected this year, while the number of people in need has increased.
We know the Lord's going to provide, and we didn't turn anyone away. We wanted to make sure that we helped everybody who needed help, and when the kettles are down and the meat is up, we know that our best thing to do is pray, and the Lord will provide.
Friends of Elizabeth Edwards, who died Tuesday of cancer, says she left her children a letter with life advice on topics such as how to pick a church or even a spouse. In her final days, the estranged wife of former vice presidential candidate John Edwards also made sure Christmas decorations were up for her children. A family friend says she'll be honored at a church service on Saturday. I'm Steve Coleman.
Heaven and Earth Sing Gloria. Join KFUO Radio Sunday, December 12th, for a broadcast of a concert recorded live featuring the National Lutheran Choir. Surrounded by sacred ambiance, this traditional Christmas concert features beloved carols of Advent and Christmas, readings for the season, and choral music both familiar and new. The broadcast is made possible by Lutheran Senior Services, LSS, Older Adults Living Life to the Fullest. The National Lutheran Choir Christmas Concert, Sunday, December 12th at 1 p.m., right here on KFUO.
Underwriting support on KFUO Radio provided by Reliable Heating and Cooling, a Christian family that understands the value of helping to bring you God's Word on the radio. The folks at Reliable also know how important it is to have your furnace checked before winter. An inefficient or malfunctioning heat exchanger can compromise the integrity of your furnace system. A preseason inspection from Reliable is convenient, affordable, and gives you peace of mind. Reliable Heating and Cooling, supporting what you hear on KFUO Radio.
I think we did.
Hey, that's mine. From my chess set.
Which chess set?
Well, I didn't exactly have a solid gold chess set in Finchley, did I?
Can't be.
Oh,
Don't you see?
What?
I imagine wolves.
What we're listening to is footage from the Chronicles of Narnia and the Prince Caspian movie. We're talking with Pastor David Andrus. He is executive director of Lutheran Blind Mission and says despite his blind condition, he really enjoys movies. Now, if I were to, I'm sorry, I'd be kind of surprised by that. Pastor, how would you straighten me out?
Sight is actually not in your eyes, it's in your mind. Your mind is what has the pictures created. Eyes are the data collectors that bring information to your mind. That's how you can dream at night. That's how architects first create a building in their mind. They see it and then they put it on paper. People who are blind often have learned to make that adjustment and create pictures in their mind. And so that's the way I view movies, is I actually see them in my mind running. So whether it's exactly 100% like what's up on the screen, I doubt it.
But it really doesn't matter, does it?
That's right. That's right. It doesn't. But it I think, comes fairly close. I could see for 11 years, and that's part of the reason I do a pretty good job of that. But even those who are blind from birth, they formulate and create pictures as well. I've had long discussions with people about this. And it probably isn't black and white, but there are other nuances that they will picture based upon the information given them that maybe you wouldn't, as what's in movies shown, sometimes those details slip away from you, but because of the sound and the input that gives, that people who are blind will pick up on that, and that becomes a big important part to play.
So, have you seen the two previous Narnia movies?
I have.
Are you a fan?
Yes and no. I like C.S. Lewis. I actually read the 7 books in the Chronicles of Narnia when I was in college. I enjoyed the book reading more than the movies. And that's why I am and am not a fan of it. C.S. Lewis was such a good writer. He made it so easy for me to see in my mind it going. And so to go to the movies, I'm almost disappointed because I had such a good picture of it from the books.
All right. So then it comes to this point where we're talking about the movie that's going to be released tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I have not read that book. You've read it, you say?
I have.
Can you tell me what it's about?
No. It's been too long ago.
Well,
sorry.
That's okay. Let me read from the ABC News website, a story out of Los Angeles today. The story says, the studios behind the new Narnia movie are walking a tightrope in their quest to promote the third film in the fantasy franchise to a Christian audience and to general moviegoers. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, doesn't open till tomorrow, but Fox and family-friendly producer Walden Media have been showing it to influential Christians for about a month, even before finished print was ready. That the studios have been reaching out to the faith-based community is an obvious strategy, given that it is based on the Narnia series from Christian philosopher C.S. Lewis. But they also are going out of their way not to pigeonhole the film as something that will appeal just to the world's 2.2 billion Christians. There are, after all, an additional 4.7 billion inhabitants of the earth. Case in point, as this is sometimes quite tricky, is Liam Neeson, who voices Aslan, the resurrected lion in the upcoming film. The actor said at a news conference last week that his character does not necessarily represent Christ. Well, that might be news to Lewis, though, who wrote the opposite before he died in 1963. Neeson said, quote, Aslan symbolizes a Christ-like figure, but he also symbolizes for me Muhammad, Buddha, and all the great spiritual leaders and prophets over the centuries. The comment got some passionate bloggers working overtime to rebut Neeson's analysis by using Lewis's own words. The whole Narnian story is about Christ, Lewis once wrote. He said he pictured him becoming a lion because it's the king of beasts and because Christ is called the Lion of Judah in the Bible. So what do you think, Pastor? Are you troubled by Mr. Neeson's comments?
No, not at all. Because in some ways it's almost like the tweet. It's left up to the person who reads it or views it, their interpretation. I think since C.S. Lewis is the author and he said this is what I meant it to be, we need to take that as more than a grain of salt. We have to take that very seriously. But if you are not a Christian, you're not only free to interpret, but you will interpret it in a different way. And so Neeson's interpreting it as any spiritual leader and a Christ-like figure is very typical of a person who wants to find a spiritual meaning, but not Christ.
Well, now, darn it, Pastor Andrus, you know...
Did I throw you again?
Oh, well, yeah, a little bit. I feel like my bicycle's wobbling here a little bit, but I need training wheels probably.
Well,
we're coming up to Christmas, and if you're a Christian, particularly if you are older and you have fond memories of Christmases past with family and church and all those things, it just gets kind of agitating when the world comes in, captures your holiday in order to sell as much stuff as possible, and then tells you when you come in the store, don't you dare say Merry Christmas in here. That kind of bugs me a little bit. Yeah. So now we have a great Christian writer like C.S. Lewis who writes a story that's designed to teach something about Jesus Christ, as Lewis says, by his own lips. And along comes Liam Neeson, who's going to capture it and turn it over to the Buddhists and the Muslims and sort of expand it from its original meaning. And, yeah, I got a kind of a problem with that.
Well, you said something. You touched on somebody in Bible class this last Sunday at Glendale Lutheran, where I was leading the Bible class, pointed out, you know, okay, if you are a clerk and you are paid at that store and are told you cannot say Merry Christmas, Blessed Christmas, in order to keep your job, you may not be able to. But that doesn't stop us who are buying at that store. We can say that. And if someone says to us, hey, you can't say that in the store, you can say, says who? Because we can. And including at restaurants, we can use that as a witness tool and opportunity to say Blessed Christmas, even though the employees cannot. And it's amazing what that might bring about. But that's my little aside. My point, though, is this. Is the world will always try to pull us away from Jesus and the message of salvation, because the world and the sinful world and the devil doesn't want that message to get out. That doesn't mean that we have to comply or give in, whether it be with our greeting when someone says Happy Holidays. I'll say yes, Blessed Christmas to you too. And if they respond back, oh, I don't think it's blessed, then I can engage them, and the store can't fire them for that.
Listen to this. Here he comes, Aslan.
You have returned for a reason. You have come far. And now your journey lies beyond.
Oh, there's that good lion's roar there, you know.
Yep.
Oh, Pastor Andrus, darn it, you know, I just really liked Liam Neeson being the voice of the lion there.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of my favorite things about the two. And now he's including the Buddhists and the Muslims and I guess everybody else. Now he's gone sort of inclusive.
You know, it flashes back in my mind. I remember when the book came out. Come on, David. What was the name of that book? It was a big controversy of the Da Vinci Code. And some were saying, oh, it's Christian. Oh, it's anti-Christian. And I remember being at a hotel and commenting to a gal at breakfast. And she said, oh, well, you know, my church is using that book, and it gives me a great opportunity to find opportunities to speak to others about Jesus. And she was bold about that to me at this breakfast. People may do what they want with the movie, but I'll be bold to use it as an opportunity to share my faith. And I will find comfort and strength in the message it gives to me of the Christian faith.
Now, since you seem to think that God is interested in the coin flips,
mm-hmm.
are you suggesting that in spite of the fact that God in his divine foreknowledge knew that Liam Neeson would say what he said, included him in the production of this movie?
Mm.
Because some lady somewhere might say, well, you know, it has caused a controversy, but I'm thankful for the controversy because it gives me an opportunity to talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that?
Why do you want to know?
Dr. Kolb.
That's right.
Lives on. Lives on.
That's right. That's right.
Well, because I think there are, I think Christians, maybe most Christians,
mm-hmm.
as I said before, don't think that God is in the business of sweating the details.
Mm.
He is a macro manager.
Mm.
He is, he's concentrating on nations and mm-hmm. presidents and,
mm-hmm.
Whether or not Liam Neeson gets to be Aslan, that's not on his to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it is. And if it is, that has profound implications for me, Pastor, because if he's turns out to be involved in the details,
mm-hmm.
then there are some details in my life that might not be interesting to you or anybody else, but are burdening me.
Mm-hmm.
You think he cares about those two?
Matthew 6:26. Look at the sparrows of the air. They don't toil or store up. Your heavenly Father cares for them. Matthew 10. Every hair of your head is counted and known by God. Yeah, he does sweat the details. That's one aspect of it. But on the flip side, we're in Philippians 2:12, after that great exaltation of Jesus who humbled himself and is exalted, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We can't just be fatalists and say, oh, God destined it, oh, well, can't do anything about it, and so forth. It's a both and that's why that question, why do you want to know? Do you need the comfort because of guilt or shame or of fear, or do you need to be challenged because you want to wimp out? Wimp out? That's not a very theological phrase, but.
Oh, I think there's probably a Greek word we can attach to it.
Probably.
Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, James. You're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Yes, Pastor. In regards to the devastated football player, I actually saw that play.
Mm.
And I believe that he was actually very hurt because he felt he not only let himself down, he let his team down, and he said it repeatedly in the press conference afterwards.
So he was penitent.
I would say, yeah, he was sorry that he let his team down, but he also indicated that he, I believe, thinks of God as judge, because he wanted to complain and find God in his tweet and present his case and fill his mouth with all sorts of arguments in regards to that. So what I would like for you to do, Pastor, is give me an application in regards to that from Job 23:2-6. Job seems to be doing some of this same sort of thing, if I have the right application, but I'd like mm-hmm. your help in it.
Job 23:2-6. Verses 2-6. Okay, we'll talk about it. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Job 23:2-6 says, today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, he would pay attention to me. Now, the editors of my Pastor John Lukowski English Standard Version Bible have put a heading before this chapter 23 of Job's reply. Mm-hmm. So these words are coming from Job as he wonders, where is God?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
That's fascinating, James. Thank you for bringing that in, because that's the yes, God is concerned about the details, and yet not. It does do the flip side, and I can see where Steve Jones would be complaining to God as the righteous judge. Why did you let me down? I'm doing all this for you. Even as Job, his friend said, acknowledge your sin. Job said, I have no sin. I mean, sure, he acknowledges sinfulness, but not that I am, all this has happened, not because I did some terrible sin. And I'm in that sense, walking in faith and righteous. And he wanted to go before God and say, why? And if that's what Steve Jones is doing with the dropping of the football, it sure could be.
Well, now, this is interesting because in this otherwise obscure play in the National Football League,
mm-hmm.
we have now had three people weigh in on the outcome as it pertains to Steve Johnson and his and his tweet.
Yeah.
There was Dave Andrus, who identified that with what you see from David in the Psalms.
Right.
And you seemed to have some grace for Mr. Johnson. Then James comes along. James, he goes to the book of Job and points out to us that in context, Steve Johnson was actually very sorrowful over the fact that he had failed, and that thus failing himself and his teammates. Mm-hmm. Certainly a kind of a pathos that we assigned to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had David, who called in, who sees a very wealthy NFL wide receiver who is probably selfish and self-elevating and doesn't have a whole lot of feelings for him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Three very different reactions, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
What are we to do with this, Pastor?
I think this is wonderful. I think through James and David and my initial comments, we've covered it in a full circle, and that's the why do you want to know double aspect. It was Professor Rowald, whom I worked with on a doctorate program, pointed out with Job is ultimately we got to come to the last chapter, and God actually revealed himself and said, okay, if you want to stand before me as judge and ask why, were you there when I formed the earth? Were you there when I laid its foundations? Were you there? And the answer is no. Well, then I'm not going to answer you. And that's how God responds to these questions of our circumstance and situation sometimes, is that's not for us to know right now.
Well, that leaves me with a certain frustration.
Me too, because there's been many times I've railed at God, and then I remind myself, okay, now David in Psalms, he always said, but I trust in you.
Well, there you go, being honest again.
Trust in you. That's right. That's right. Maybe I should learn how to tweet and do this, huh?
Well, if you tweet it, I'll probably read it. Here's one more thing here. I don't know if you heard about this, and I don't know if you've gotten your wife a Christmas present or not. You probably, maybe you should think about this. There's an announcement out today. There is a revolutionary new Jesus iPhone just in time for Christmas.
Ooh.
Wouldn't you like to have a Jesus iPhone? I mean, there's iPhones and then there's Jesus iPhones.
Uh-huh.
Here's what the story says. Revolutionary new media company DV8 Media has released The Life of Jesus and an epic comprehensive mobile phone application dedicated to the life of the Christian Savior, containing cutting-edge original video and audio productions, engaging interactive games, oh boy, Christian-themed communication tools, and the full text of the New Testament, searchable and bookmarkable. The Life of Jesus is designed to bring a new generation of Christians and the Christian community together, and well, that's a good thing, to reinforce Jesus' philosophy in a hip, sleek, and technological advanced production. What do you think, Pastor Andrus?
Well, I started the program giving, as you said, grace to the tweet. this time I'm going to give law and judgment to the iPhone. I think a Christian that spends their money on that is going after knowledge and doing their actions in order to live a self-righteous life when they've got far better things to do.
All right.
I look at sometimes people...
Just a second here where I'm crossing this off my list.
I'm surprised you keep calling me back because I keep...
I love to talk to you, sir.
I do give a different perspective sometimes, and my perspective here comes from those who are living in poverty, where we strive and go after this and that and everything, trying to live a very righteous life, trying to be holier than thou because we pile up all these good things and our knowledge, and we think that if we surround ourselves with these, that'll make us holy. When in truth and reality, we have a simple Bible in print, in Braille, on cassette, and I can tell you where you can get all of them free.
Yeah.
And then we need to not only just read it, but then go out and do it. And here, again, I'm giving very much law, but I think in some ways Christians in America are very much like the fast food Americans, eating way too many calories, getting fat, and not exercising.
Well, as I read through this release, and this comes off the Christian, what's called the Christian Newswire,
mm-hmm.
there were a couple of things that caught my attention here. It says, and I'll read this again, revolutionary new media company DV8 Media has released The Life of Jesus, an epic comprehensive mobile phone application dedicated to the life of the Christian Savior. It's not very often that you hear Jesus referred to as the Christian Savior. At least it used to be not.
Right.
But it is now. And then later on it says, The Life of Jesus is designed to bring a new generation of Christians and the Christian community together to reinforce Jesus' philosophy. Did Jesus come to give us a philosophy, Pastor?
No. He came to bring us life, connection with Him. I'll be honest, I think that was written by a wonderful marketer to and it touches on all of the need factors that Christians struggle with, coming together, living for Christ, need a Savior, see Him in 3D at your phone when you pull it out to answer a call, all these things when it's almost searching after another thing rather than looking to what we already have.
And gee, here I thought you were going to be disappointed with me if the next time we talk here in the Bible study, I haven't obtained my new Jesus iPhone yet.
I'll be disappointed if you haven't gotten your Braille Bible and learned how to read Braille. How's that?
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense to me. Pastor Andrus, blessed Advent to you. Merry Christmas. Thank you for the wonderful conversations that we've had in this past year here on our Ask the Pastor Bible study or Bible study programs. We appreciate more than you know that different angle, that different perspective that you always bring to these conversations.
Well, thank you, and you have a blessed Christmas holiday, and everyone out there also. Remember that Jesus loves you, and He lifts you above your circumstances to give you the sure and certain hope of everlasting life.
God bless you, sir.
And you.
Pastor David Andrus, he is the Executive Director of Lutheran Blind Mission here in St. Louis, with outposts all over the country, and a regular guest here on our Bible study programs. Tomorrow, we move into Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Pastor Paul Hemenway of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville will be our guest for that conversation. And Pastor Rick Boschhoven is scheduled to be our Ask the Pastor guest in the second hour. He's pastor at Trinity Memorial Lutheran Church in Merrillville, Indiana. That's on Friday.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.